This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Ag and Natural Resources Committee to order. Go ahead and grab a plate of food if you haven't already, and we'll be kind of relaxed. We've got a couple chores to take care of, and just a reminder to turn off your cell phones and welcome internet listeners, and we'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Chase.
Here.
Glanzer, excused. Lesmeister, excused. Livermont.
Here.
Marty.
Here.
Mullally, excused. Otten.
Here.
Overweg.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Boyer, excused.
She was here.
Wayne.
Oh, she's here. Poirier's here.
Okay. Wangsness.
Here.
Fink, excused.
He's down giving blood.
Bruner.
Here. My evil vice chair is down giving blood, so told him to give some for me, too, and we'll all be good. I'm going to be needing all of mine today. So. Are you calling me a turnip or what? Anyway, thank you. We've got just a short program this morning, and let's see. We've got minutes of a previous meeting. Much pleasure. Motion to accept by Peterson, second by Overweg. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Minutes are approved. We got no bills this morning, but do have a presentation with the Leopold Conservation Award. I'll just turn the program over to Angela Eiler. She will introduce whoever she wants to, and we'll go from there. Mostly.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As Mr. Representative Bruner noted, my name is Angela Ehlers. I represent South Dakota's conservation districts. I really get to introduce anybody I want?
Sure.
Okay. Well, before we do get started, I would like to introduce one person in the audience who's a huge influence on conservation in this state and has made tremendous changes and improvements to how we deliver conservation, and that would be our NRCS state conservationist, who is Jeff Simprich. And he is very available and open to work with all of you. So if you need to visit with the person who's in charge of USDA NRCS in South Dakota, he is good to talk with. But today we are here to visit about the Leopold Conservation Award. And we have you have a handout at your desks that shows who all the sponsors are. And it's on the bottom of the front page. And then we also have a summary of the winners from the past few years. But we are here today to honor the 2019 award winners, which is Johnson Farms near Frankfort, South Dakota. And with your permission, I'll play a short video. And then Brian and Jamie Johnson with Johnson Farms will give a short presentation. And just in case they look a little familiar and you were here in 2004, Senator Greenfield informs me that they were interns here, and this is where they met and became a family.
Did I embarrass you yet?
Anyway, we'll play the video now.
I usually don't encourage that between interns, but it's all good.
This farm was started by my grandfather, John Johnson. He came from Sweden with his brothers, so this is a century farm. My father, he started farming with his dad. I started farming with my dad with no pressure. You know, you have to love it in order to do it. I did the same with Brian. I never really said anything. You know, he was part of the operation helping, and I wanted it to be his decision, you know, alone that he wanted to farm. And it's been quite a blessing to have him come back.
I started after college in 2004, and now my wife and I have four kids. Ella's 12, Lila is 10, Leo is 7, and Evelyn will be 3 here shortly. And they're all active, helping various activities in the farm here, working cattle, checking cattle in the pasture. Calving season, they really enjoy it. They like to ride along with me in the field, in the tractor, in the combine. It's definitely a family affair.
My favorite thing in the farm is cutting corn with Dad and Papa.
We have to feed the chickens. We have to go check the cows. We kind of have to to decide who does the chicken chores because none of us really like going to pick eggs at like 5 o'clock.
I grew up in northeastern Nebraska on a cattle farm, on an Angus farm. And I swore to my dad I would never ever marry a farmer because it was such hard work. And I went to college and hated living in the city and met Brian. And I was like, oh, hey, there's a farmer. So I got myself back to the farm. And it's kind of been my goal and my passion to make a complete system out of this farm, bring those cattle back, you know, to the carrying capacity that the pastures can hold, utilize those rotational grazing wise as what they can hold. And then in the last couple years, we've really focused on integrating those cattle back onto the crop ground, spending less time and energy moving manure, already having it out on the fields.
We like save money by putting them on cover crops and putting them on that longer until it grazes a little shorter.
So it wasn't that I've had to change a whole lot because the footprint had already been made. It was just tinkering with some new ideas and some new practices here and there.
One other thing that we have really honed in on in the last 5, 6, 7 years is focusing on really the acre by acre productivity of the farm and looking at, even if it's a small piece of ground, what's the best use for that acre? Is it corn? Is it soybeans? Is it small grain? Is it forage? Or is it really we need to put that into grass so we're reducing our erosion and we're providing some habitat for wildlife or whatever it is on those CRP acres?
It was mostly just managing the water. What can we do with our crop rotations in our management system to be able to handle the water and use it efficiently? Through the water issues that we encountered, it became more of a, okay, we have to change some of our cropland away from crop production into grass and water management, and that's where the CRP acres came into play.
That whole systems approach of having different things growing, whether it's in your pasture, whether it's in your crop ground, to keep the soil healthy, keep all those microbes happy and functioning healthy together. When you have a healthy soil, you have a healthy crop, you have a healthy livestock. It all comes back to you're producing healthy soil, you have a healthy end product. To us, that's really important.
They've seen an increase over the years of organic matter on their operation through the diversity of crop rotations, the addition of cover crops to their rotations. And I also think, and especially with a year like we're experiencing now, they're starting to really see the benefits of improved infiltration in their soils.
The organic matter is building. They're keeping their fertilizer levels up there. So if somebody else down the road gets used this farm ground, I mean, it's going to be well taken care of and be the most productive it can be.
As you drive down the road coming in here, you see some of the conservation practices they put in place. Saline areas, they planted back in the grass to recover those areas. See grass waterways, and they have been innovators in conservation in our area and soil health for a long time. And I think we learn more from them than they learn from us, but we really like working with them.
You know, on our operation, we do what we do because it works for us. And we think it's sustainable and it's the right thing to do. We weren't looking to receive awards for anything we do other than just because it works. We want to be able to pass it along and keep doing the right thing and learning as we go, making adjustments, improvements, more trees, more shelter belts, some cross fencing, just integrating the livestock more. It's a journey that we're on here in this operation. We've come a long way in 30-some years of no-till.
There's a lot more that we know that we need to do and that we can do.
We were driving through the pasture in the Ranger, and my granddaughter reaches out and grabs a couple stems of grass. She goes, oh, crested wheat, brome grass. That's kind of neat. they take it to heart too, you know, and they're proud of what we're doing here.
When you think of those moments where you're all together and you're working hard, and at the end of it, the little kid goes, "Wow, that went really fast and that was so much fun." Like, those moments are just like, oh, heartbeat moments of, we're doing this right, we're doing the right thing. Or during harvest when we're all out in the field, Alan and Mickey and Brian and I and the kids, and it's, you know, someday it'll be the kids running the equipment, you know. Those are the moments where you're pulling in the corn or the wheat or the soybeans, or you're baling hay and everybody's together. It's like, this is what we're doing this for, is to build a family, build these values to be passed on to the next generation.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian and Jamie Johnson. There you, Jamie, on mic.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We'd additionally like to thank all of our the help that we've had this past year, and everything that we've the activities and the events we've been a part of because of what this award has brought to our farm, the partners that we have in our operation, and the resources that we have and the experts that we work with. Most importantly, I would like to recognize the Sand County Foundation, Cattlemen's Association here in South Dakota, and the Grassland Coalition, and the additional sponsors behind the Leopold Award. Without them, you know, we would not be here today, along with the previous winners in South Dakota. It's quite an example of a good collaboration among many entities in South Dakota that work for a common goal of conservation and sustainability in agriculture. And so with that, anything you want to add more? Thank you.
Thank you.
That's quiet as she's been in the last 2 hours on the ride here. So,
no, thank you for having us this morning. It's quite an honor to come back here. And like it was mentioned in our introduction, we were both interns here 16 years ago. So a lot has changed. A lot has changed on the fourth floor. So it's absolutely beautiful up here. They've done a wonderful job remodeling, and It's fun to come back here every once in a while and reminisce about college days. So that's very nice.
I was just told that apparently you want the backstory. So we were interns in 2004. I was assigned to the Appropriations Committee, Brock Greenfield, yes. So I did not make it to fourth floor very often. She was assigned to some different committees up here on fourth floor. And when obviously, the handful of interns, we all, you know, grew close and grew to know each other. And then it just so happened she started showing up a little more in appropriations in February. So, you know, things progressed. And later, about 6 months after we met, we were engaged. So I wasn't wasting any time. I knew what I'd found. And four kids later, here we are.
You interns in the room paying attention?
It was all business during the
legislature. Yes. No.
So, to give you a brief overview of our operation, Spink County, South Dakota, Frankfort. My great-grandfather settled there in 1906 from Sweden. And I'm fortunate to be able to still live and farm on that same operation. We wouldn't be here today without my grandparents and my parents, who have done a great job of building the operation up to where it is today. Obviously, when you come back as a son or a child and look to improve things, there's always a communication and compromise that goes with coming back to those operations. And I've been fortunate to be able to have a little leeway in trying new things, and the understanding from the past generation that, you know, it's okay to fail in small doses, and, you know, that's how you learn. You learn from those mistakes and you make changes, and what we've done in our operation here the past 16 years since I came back from college was not try to mess up the system that my father had in place and make small improvements. And a lot of that you saw in the video today with the diversity and the cover crops and what we're doing with the cattle. We just for an overview, we raise wheat, oats, barley, corn, soybeans, some hay, cover crops, cattle, 7 chickens, 3 cats, and 4 kids.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah. So we keep very busy. We're fortunate where my great-grandfather settled that it's some productive soil, but we also have the issue of being in the James River watershed with the salinity issues that go along with that. And so part of our operation is managing those issues that may come up with the water and the lack of elevation or slope that you encounter in the fields. And our approach and what I think has made us successful is managing those lower productivity acres, the marginal acres, and not trying to farm corn and beans fence line to fence line, but using those acres to introduce grasses, forage crops, cover crops on those. And by doing so, we've eliminated some of the profitability problems and soil health problems that you'll see in many of these fields. And it's across South Dakota, everybody has certain issues there. You have the lower productivity areas in your fields that may cost you $400 an acre, and you never get that back because it will not produce. And so we've managed to increase our profitability there. And I came across a slide a few weeks ago from the University of Minnesota that showed by decreasing your costs 5% on a field or your farm in general, and then also increasing your revenue, you double and triple the profitability, your net farm income on those operations. And so if you extrapolate that from one field across your whole farm, it changes the sustainability and profitability of your operation in agriculture here in South Dakota. And that's what I think has helped us to weather the extremes in the market as well as the weather. You know, obviously everybody knows that 17 and 18 were dry across much of South Dakota. Fall of 18 into 19 has been extremely wet, and it's setting up to be a wet spring for many producers. We have fortunately insulated ourselves a little bit from those extremes. You know, we only had 5% prevent plant in 19, and I attribute that to a lot of the practices that my father set up, the diversity, our management, and how we, you know, the no-till of 34 years, cover crops and cattle. It's been a great way for us to hopefully continue this operation for the next generation if they so choose to come back and have something that will work for them and then allow them to take it to where they want to as well. So anything else you want to add?
No, that was a great summary. Do you have any questions? We'd be welcome to answer any questions that you might have.
Representative Wangsness.
Hi, how are you guys today? Thanks for being here. What other activities do you guys do like around your community to participate with ag or help with the ag community other than just the farm?
I am on the board our Spink County Conservation District. I was past chairwoman of that. I'm currently serving also, and I am church board, 4-H leader. I volunteered with FFA for a few years and then kind of reined that back when I joined the South Dakota Soybean Association board. I've been on my third year on the Soybean Association board, so I'm also busy with that. I'm the committee chairwoman of the conservation committee for the South Dakota Soybean Board. And Brian can talk about what he does. Oh, and I parent 4 children. So
That should be at the top.
Yes, it should be.
Like many townships, if you have a pulse in your township, you're might be on the township board, and that's my...
Oh, yeah, we're both on that.
We're both on the township board. She's the treasurer, and I am one of the supervisors. I'm a county commissioner for Spink County, and I was just elected in January as a board member for the South Dakota Soil Health Coalition.
Representative Livermont.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congratulations on your award. I'm just curious, in that video that we watched, was that the James River that they were picturing?
No, that was actually Timber Creek, which flows into the James River about half a mile south of where that video was taken. That was taken in June of this year. Obviously, the water level was very high at that point.
So I was wondering. Thank you.
Anybody else? Representative Poirier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congratulations on your award. The video in your farm and everything is just absolutely beautiful. Recently, I'm in the early stages of starting a family myself. And what is depicted here and everything that you're doing on your farm is actually a dream of me and my husband. So do you have any advice for those who are just starting and wanting to get into that dream?
A lot of hard work and a lot of sleepless nights. If it's your dream, go for it. And it is. It's just any dream is worth it. It's hard work. Lots of communication, lots of talking. Brian will say I talk way too much, which is probably true. But it's a lot of it is just communication, and so everybody knows where everybody's at with their. Whether it's finances, business, whether it's personal stuff, if, you know, a lot of times you can tell we're very involved in community and statewide things. And so sometimes it's, okay, you're going to do this for a while. I'm going to back away so that you can pursue something for a while. And it, as your kids get older, it's the same thing. It was easier for us to do things when our kids were littler. Now we have a teenager. So now it's harder to... We've got ball games to go to 3 nights a week. So it's a lot of give and take. Really work on your communication and work hard. You can do it if you want it.
It's a great way to raise a family. If it's truly something that you love, you'll make it work. There's nothing like raising kids out on the countryside on a farm. There's always a variety of tasks, but being able to interact with nature is a great way for them to learn. And, you get to keep them busy doing odd jobs around the farm. But it really comes always down to follow your heart, do what you love, work as a team. You know, we've 16 years into marriage. I think we've obviously you have your ups and downs, but we're a pretty good team now. Some of the better ideas we've had in the last 5 years as far as taking this operation and changing it have come from her, because she came in from the operation from the outside. She was from Nebraska. I took the best thing they had from Nebraska. They can keep their football team.
Don't. Hey, we might be friends.
You're out of order.
So the biggest thing, communication and not being afraid to fail in a small scale. You know, that's how you learn. The mistakes are learning opportunities.
Anybody else? Questions? I just, you know, I'm happy you're here. I think my first term was a year after you guys were intern. 05, I think, was my first term. I came here and I had 7 kids, 14 and 16 and under, I think, at that time. And a lot of them spent a lot of time up here at the cow. Besides, we had a dairy farm at home and raised crops and stuff. So family to me is everything. I mean, you know, things can come and go, but family is everything. And so, you know, obviously I have a pretty soft spot in my heart for looking at your kids and seeing what you're doing. So I just thank you for being here. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to share a story. I'm Representative J.D. Wangsness, and I had the honor of traveling with Jamie Johnson in the South Dakota Ag and Rural Leadership Class 8 to Spain. And I always fondly reflect on our meal of paella. Paella is sort of a stew with lots of seafood, mussels, and whatever, all kinds of fun stuff, and shrimp, and I was eating it, and she was sitting there looking at me, and she referred to me as a human garbage can, because I was eating it.
She's a wise woman.
We had a wonderful experience in traveling through the Iberian Peninsula, and I really enjoyed it, and it was wonderful to meet Jamie at that time, so thank you.
So you were in SDRL Class 8?
I was.
Okay. Yes. I was in Class 1.
Okay. Yep.
And I knew you looked familiar.
It was actually a fun trip, and I was also pregnant with Evelyn at the time, so my appetite was not very adventurous. We'll just put it that way. And it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say congratulations and go Huskers.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys for being here. Stick around a little bit. I'm sure there might be a few questions and stuff.
Great. Thank you.
Off the camera and stuff. So.
One final note, as you know, I like to give you guys things, little trinkets. Well, these are what you're going to be receiving are actually from the USDA under CS. And I saw them. I said I want 50 because I'd like to give them out. So I hope you enjoy them. The pages are passing them out. I think you'll find them entertaining. If you don't like them, I'm sure your spouse will. But we do thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk to you about the Leopold Conservation Award. Applications for 2020 close Friday?
Friday.
Like tomorrow. So if you want to get an application, then you better get in gear. But we'll be thinking about 2021, too. And you've got some very good producers in South Dakota that I think every one of you could name that would be qualified for this. And we encourage you to consider applying. Even if you don't win the first year, if you remember last year, it was Senator Kamak's family. They were nominated for several years, and then they won. So we do encourage you to continue being part of the program with us. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank all the ag groups for breakfast this morning. It's always appreciated. Steve always brings his smoked meats in, and they're great. I mean, everybody helped themselves and show their appreciation. But thank you, guys. We really appreciate that. And just want to really tell this committee how much I appreciate them. You know, there's been times in the past this committee, we used to call it the Island of Broken Toys or something like that. But this committee this year was far from that. I mean, this term was you guys stepped up and asked the hard questions and took on the hard bills and did some outstanding work. I'm very proud of this committee and deeply honored to chair this committee. So just thank you guys. I really appreciate each and every one of you. And with that, anybody else?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, with that being said, I think I speak on behalf of the committee. We thank you for your leadership in chairing the committee this year, especially for myself, taking me under your wing as the new vice chair and teaching me the ways of how to properly run a committee and get things done. And I just would like to extend my thanks to the committee for bearing with me as I've stumbled a couple of times with the gavel. But other than that, I think we've done a lot of great work this year and brings us to a really good close.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Sammy?
Yes, Bubba here. Representative Bruner has been a great chair leader, and I just appreciate that because I've seen some other chairs, and Tom is right up there, and he's allowed me a little leeway to get into the weeds, and I appreciate that. So it's been a fun time serving under you, Tom. Thanks.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Anybody else? With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. A motion by Chase, second by Wangsness. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. We're adjourned.